Let me start off my story with a question. Have you ever felt like you were being watched in a place where you were supposed to be alone? Well, that's the kind of craziness that I'm going to share with you now. So there we were, Amber and I, driving up to what we thought would be our winter wonderland retreat in Vermont. We'd been looking forward to this getaway for months, craving some time away from our busy lives in the city. We met during college through mutual friends and hit it off almost immediately. Fast forward 3 years, and we're both deep into our careers, me as a software developer and Amber as a graphic designer. We've always shared a love for adventure and trying new things, which is why the idea of a secluded cabin in the woods sounded perfect. Little did we know, it was going to be an adventure, all right, but not the kind we had in mind. The drive itself was beautiful, scenic routes all the way, with snow-covered trees lining the roads, giving off that real winter wonderland vibe. We were buzzing with excitement, talking about all the things we do, hiking, maybe some photography, and definitely a lot of relaxing. However, as we pulled up to the address, our excitement quickly turned to confusion, then disappointment. The cabin, which looked so charming and cozy in the photos, was anything but. It was run down, with peeling paint, and just had an overall unkempt look to it. "It's probably just the outside," Amber tried to stay optimistic. "The inside could still be nice." We decided to make the best of it, considering we had driven for hours. Stepping inside, it wasn't as bad as the exterior had led us to believe, but it was still a far cry from the pictures we'd seen online. We shrugged it off, determined not to let it ruin our trip, and joked about leaving a scathing review to warn future visitors. Our first night was actually quite nice, despite the initial disappointment. We found a local market nearby, grabbed some supplies, and made a cozy dinner together. The fridge was leaking water, but we figured we'd deal with it in the morning. We spent the evening playing board games, listening to music, and, well, making the most of our time alone together. It was the kind of quality time we had been missing, caught up in the rush of daily life back home. The next morning, I called up Hal, the host, to mention the fridge issue. He was apologetic and said he'd come by to fix it. True to his word, Hal showed up a couple of hours later. He was a bit odd, a bit too chatty for someone who's just there to fix a fridge, but we figured he was just being friendly. After a quick fix, he was on his way, leaving us with a, "Don't hesitate to call if you need anything else." Hal's unexpected early return the next day caught us completely off guard. We were still half asleep when we heard the knock on the door. "There's a problem with the toilet," he claimed. I was puzzled because we hadn't noticed anything wrong, but we let him in, thinking maybe it was a preemptive catch on his part. While he tinkered around, Hal made small talk, touching on topics like sports and current events. However, as the conversation progressed, I started to feel a little weirded out. Hal would drop comments about our stay that he couldn't possibly know unless he was watching us somehow. It was subtle, but enough to raise red flags. Once Hal left, I shared my concerns with Amber. Her face went pale. She mentioned stories she had heard in the past. More specifically, stories about hosts planting hidden cameras in their rentals. The thought had never crossed my mind, but now it was all I could think about. We decided to search the cabin, not really expecting to find anything. Yet there they were, hidden cameras in both the bedroom and the bathroom. It felt like a punch to the gut, realizing our privacy had been violated in such a personal space. I immediately tried calling Hal. No answer. My next call was to the police. They arrived within 20 minutes and we showed them the cameras. They were as disgusted as we were, assuring us they would handle it from there. Amber and I packed up our things, too shaken to stay a moment longer. The drive back home was a mix of silence and us sharing our complete disbelief at what transpired back at the cabin. In the days that followed, we kept in touch with the police department and hired a lawyer to ensure Hal faced the consequences of his actions. It was a long and draining process, but eventually, Hal was sentenced to 5 years in jail. The experience left us feeling pretty hesitant about using Airbnb again. We're not sure if we'll ever give it another try, but as of right now, we decided that we'll just stick to traditional hotels. If you told me 4 months ago that I would be sharing a story that sounds like a Stephen King novel, I would have laughed. I'm originally from Vegas, a city that never sleeps, filled with its own tales of horror. However, nothing I've ever experienced comes close to my Airbnb stay in Montana. I'm in real estate, investing, and constantly on the move to learn more and network. This particular trip was for a real estate investor event. So I was in Montana for the event and needed a place to stay. I found this Airbnb listing that seemed perfect. Private room, good location, and the host, Brett, would be around. I thought that was great, since it would be an opportunity to get some local tips. The listing was clear about shared spaces, which was fine by me. Little did I know how much I would regret this decision. Meeting Brett was an experience. Picture this, a nerdy, socially awkward guy who seems to sweat bullets the moment he sees me. He was jittery, almost like he was seeing a ghost rather than a guest. As he gave me a tour, he would randomly freeze, staring at me with his trembling gaze before snapping back to reality. Super weird, but I brushed it off, thinking maybe he was just really nervous. The house was decent, but I felt uneasy from the start. Maybe it was how Brett acted or just the vibe of the place. Then came the first night. My room had no lock, which struck me as odd and uncomfortable. I heard creaking floorboards outside my door late at night. I feel like an idiot for not noticing the complete obvious, but at the moment, I think I was just in an overall state of confusion in that house. The next morning, I asked Brett about the lack of a lock on my door. His explanation made zero sense, something about keeping the energy of the house flowing freely. He dodged my gaze and quickly changed the subject. Red flags? Absolutely. But I convinced myself I was overreacting. I was there for the event, after all, not to judge someone's quirky house rules. The atmosphere grew increasingly tense. Brett would hover over the shared spaces, making small talk, but always with that odd, nervous energy. I spent as little time as possible at that house, focusing on the event. Each night, the creaking outside my door got more pronounced, like someone was pacing, waiting. I felt watched, my discomfort growing with each passing hour. The third night was when everything escalated beyond my wildest fears. I was dead asleep, exhausted from the day's events, when a chilling sense of unease jolted me awake. The room was pitch black. As my eyes adjusted, I noticed a darker shadow within the darkness, a figure just sitting there in the corner of my room. My heart stopped. Then, a whisper, so clear and so close. "I'm here to protect you." I've never felt terror like that before. It was Brett, sitting there, in my room, without any invitation or explanation. Instinct took over. I screamed, a loud, piercing sound that I hardly recognized as my own. I shouted for him to get out. Brett started crying, of all things, crying and begging me not to leave. He collapsed to the floor, a grown man, sobbing and pleading for me to stay, all while rambling nonsensical phrases that made my skin crawl. It was like watching someone unravel before my eyes. I didn't hesitate. I grabbed my phone, my purse, anything I could in a matter of seconds and bolted out of that room. The intense anxiety I felt made it very hard to breathe. As I ran through the house, I was expecting Brett to emerge at any moment. The front door never felt so far away. Once outside, I ran like a bat out of hell and didn't even think of stopping. The nearest gas station became my temporary sanctuary. Under the fluorescent lights, surrounded by the mundane sight of snacks and travel essentials, I finally allowed myself to breathe. The clerk gave me a concerned look as I booked an Uber, which took longer than usual due to me constantly shaking. The ride to the nearest hotel allowed me to decompress. I was thankful that nothing worse happened to me back there. Once safe in my hotel room, the reality of what happened hit me. I filed a complaint to Airbnb and shared every horrifying detail. Their response was sympathetic, promising an investigation and offering support, but it did little to ease the sense of violation and fear that clung to me. Brett's actions were inexcusable, and I couldn't help but wonder how many others might have experienced his disturbing behavior. And in case you're wondering, yes, I did call the police and told them everything that happened during my stay there, especially that night. What creeped me out even more was when the police told me that this wasn't Brett's first alarming interaction with guests. Like, seriously? Why the hell isn't this freak banned from the platform already? Airbnb's investigation was ongoing, but no resolution seemed capable of erasing the sheer terror of waking up to a stranger whispering in the dark. I was safe, yet the feeling of security that had once been taken for granted was now shattered, leaving me to wonder if it could ever be fully restored. I guess you could say, looking back, there were signs from the get-go that our little weekend getaway was going to be anything but ordinary. My wife Lily and I had been living the fast-paced life of New York City for years. As a CPA, I'm buried in numbers and tax codes more often than not, and Lily, a veterinarian, dedicates her days and sometimes nights to animals in need. We were just two working professionals, happy to be married and working hard to accomplish our goals in life. Our story really begins in the fall of 2014. We were both feeling the weight of our careers and decided a weekend escape was long overdue. Lily stumbled upon this Airbnb listing for a guest house detached from what looked like a mansion in Fairfield, Connecticut. The place was massive, and the photos online showed a quaint, inviting space that seemed perfect for a peaceful break from the city. Despite it being a fresh listing with zero reviews, the allure of an adventure and a change of scenery was too tempting to pass up. The instructions for our stay were straightforward. Retrieve the keys from a lockbox located on the right-hand side of the guest house. The moment we entered the code and opened the lockbox, I can't explain it, but something just didn't feel right. I literally felt all the hairs on my neck and arms stand up. I mentioned it to Lily, and she admitted feeling a little bit unsettled too. However, we chalked it up to the usual unease of being in a new place and decided to push those feelings aside. Trying to make the best of our weekend, we unpacked and set out to explore our temporary home. But as the day went on, strange things began to happen. It started with minor technical glitches. The TV refusing to turn on. The lights flickering without reason. Then came the noises. Odd creaks and bangs that you'd rationalize as normal house sounds. But these felt deliberate, almost like someone was moving around. At one point, we both saw what looked like a shadowy figure dart across the hallway. It was fleeting, but it was enough to reignite that uneasy feeling we had when we first arrived. As night fell, the atmosphere in the guest house shifted. It's hard to describe, but the air felt thicker, charged with a tension that made it hard to relax. We decided to call it an early night, hoping sleep would offer some relief. However, things didn't quite work out that way. I was jolted awake by the bed shaking ever so slightly. It was hard to notice at first, but then there was one big, violent jolt that eventually startled Lily awake. We both jumped out of bed and started searching the room, expecting to find someone or something under the bed, but of course, it was just us. The bedsheet incident was what truly shattered any semblance of normalcy. As I was lying there, trying to convince myself to go back to sleep, I felt the sheets slowly being pulled off the bed. At first, I thought I was imagining it, but as I sat up, I was able to see the sheets slowly being pulled down to the end of the bed. That's when I quickly sat up, and when I did, I was violently yanked off the bed, hitting the wall hard. The impact dazed me. Lily was in a state of panic at this point. Whatever skepticism we had about the supernatural was quickly evaporating in the face of what was happening to us. Deciding we had endured enough, we began to frantically pack our belongings. But the house wasn't done with us yet. Doors slammed, cabinets flew open, and the TV turned on by itself, blaring at maximum volume before abruptly shutting off. It felt like the guest house was coming alive, feeding off of our fear. The chaos around us was deafening, a parade of sounds that seemed to be driving us out. In a state of sheer panic, we grabbed our things and ran for the car. The night was eerily quiet as we fled the guest house, but what haunted me more than the supernatural events was the sight of the main house. As we made our escape, I glanced back to see several windows with people just standing there, staring out at us, motionless. I still get chills thinking about it. The drive back home to New York City was full of adrenaline and disbelief. Lily, still shaking, attempted to leave a warning review on the Airbnb listing, only to find that it, along with the user, had vanished without a trace. It was as if the listing never even existed. Reflecting on that weekend, I can't help but feel a mix of relief and unresolved fear. We never spoke of it again, not wanting to relive the nightmare. But it's always been there, lingering in the back of my mind. I've tried to explain it away, but in the end, nothing makes sense. And so that's my story. I wish I could give you some closure as to what the hell happened that night, but I'm sorry, I got nothing. 10 years have passed since that chilling night. Every once in a while, I think back to what happened, and I walk away having more questions than answers. Maybe one day I'll find the answer, but until then, it's a mystery that Lily and I will live with until our last breath. I thought renting an Airbnb in a sleepy little town would be the perfect way to relax and reset after a crazy few months at work. The first day was awesome. I got to sleep in, check out the cute downtown, and have a cozy night by the fire with a good book. But everything went to hell on the second night. It was super late. I was in my PJs about to crash when suddenly, there was this aggressive banging on the front door. I was freaked out. I snuck over to look through the peephole, and there was this random guy outside, clearly tweaking out about something. "Let me in, please," he called out, sounding all desperate and manic. "It's an emergency. I need help." I froze, my gut telling me this was all kinds of wrong. What sane person shows up at a stranger's vacation rental in the middle of the night? I stayed quiet, wishing he'd just leave. But he started pounding harder, shouting, "Open up, I know you're there." Majorly sketched out, I called 911, whispering to the operator what was going down. She told me cops were coming and not to open the door, no matter what. Those 10 minutes waiting felt like forever. The dude getting increasingly unhinged outside. I grabbed a kitchen knife and locked myself in the bathroom, low-key expecting to have to fight for my life. Then I heard a window smash. He was breaking in. I could hear him tearing through the house, slamming open doors and knocking things over, looking for me, snarling all kinds of messed up threats. I was full on crying, white knuckling the knife, bracing for the worst. Thank God, that's when the cops showed up, sirens blaring. I heard them bust in and take the guy down after a scuffle. After a few minutes, an officer knocked on the bathroom door, giving the all clear. I walked out into a disaster zone. Broken glass, furniture flipped over, the whole nine. They had the dude cuffed in a squad car. Apparently, he was some vagrant with a rap sheet, full of assaults and break-ins. I was just the unlucky random target of the night. I was so beyond rattled. My supposedly chill getaway spot didn't feel safe at all anymore. I couldn't shake the feeling of hiding, totally powerless, while some psycho tried to hunt me down. If I hadn't called the cops, or they hadn't showed up in time, I can't even go there. Obviously, I bailed on the rest of the trip, headed home the next morning. I'm still processing how scary that was. Definitely never booking an Airbnb solo again. Lesson learned the hard way. Sometimes, the world's just a really dangerous place, and trouble can pop up where you least expect it. I had been looking forward to this weekend getaway for months. A close friend of mine had passed away a few days prior, so I just needed to get away for a while and allow myself to grieve. I found what looked like the perfect Airbnb, a cozy cabin nestled in the woods with great reviews and a reasonable price. I booked it immediately. I arrived at the cabin Friday evening, just as the sun was starting to set. I grabbed my backpack from the trunk and made my way up the short gravel path. But as I approached the front door, I noticed it was slightly open. That was odd. I cautiously pushed it open and stepped inside. I called out a greeting. No response. I flicked on the light switch by the door. The living room looked just like the pictures. Rustic wooden furniture, a stone fireplace. But something felt off. That's when I heard it. The unmistakable sound of footsteps coming from the bedroom at the end of the hallway. These footsteps were heavy. My heart started racing. Someone else was in the cabin. I was just about to turn and run back out the front door when a figure emerged from the bedroom. It was a man, tall and heavily built, wearing a stained white undershirt and ripped jeans. He looked to be in his 50s, with stringy graying hair and a coarse stubble. His eyes were bloodshot and wild. The man demanded to know who I was, stating that this was his place. I stammered that I thought there must be some mistake and that I had booked this cabin on Airbnb. I mentioned that I had the reservation confirmation on my phone, which I held up with the booking displayed on the screen. But the man just scowled. He said he didn't know anything about Airbnb, but that he had been living here for the past 3 months and wasn't leaving. He told me I best get out of there. He took a menacing step toward me. I backed up instinctively, my eyes darting around for a weapon, an escape route, anything. I spotted a baseball bat leaning against the wall by the front door. If I could just reach it. But before I could make a move, the man lunged at me with startling speed for someone his size. He grabbed me by the throat and slammed me up against the wall, knocking the wind out of me. His face was just inches from mine, his breath reeking of alcohol and cigarettes. The man growled that he had told me to leave and not to make him repeat himself. I clawed desperately at his hands as he tightened his grip on my throat, but it was no use. He was incredibly strong. Black spots started to dance around my vision as I gasped for air. I was on the verge of passing out when I suddenly remembered the pocket knife in my jeans. I fumbled for it, finally managing to wrap my fingers around the handle. I flicked it open and plunged the short blade into the man's forearm. He howled in pain and released his grip on my throat. I collapsed to the floor, gasping and coughing. The man staggered back, clutching his bleeding arm and cursing. I didn't hesitate. I scrambled to my feet, grabbed a baseball bat, and charged straight at him before he could regain his bearings. I swung the bat with every ounce of strength I had, catching him squarely on the side of the head with a sickening thud. He crumpled to the ground and lay still. I stood over him, my chest heaving, still gripping the bloody bat. I could hardly believe what had just happened. With shaking hands, I pulled out my phone and dialed 911. The police arrived within minutes. After securing the scene and calling an ambulance for the still unconscious man, they took my statement. I showed them my Airbnb reservation as proof that I had a right to be there. They contacted the cabin's actual owner, who expressed horror upon learning that a squatter had been living there for months without his knowledge. In the end, the man was arrested, and I gave the police permission to enter my information into evidence should the case go to trial. The Airbnb owner refunded my money and offered me an additional free stay, but I don't think I'll be using it anytime soon. I'm still shaken by the memory of those mad, bloodshot eyes and those hands around my throat. Every time I close my eyes, I'm back in that cabin, fighting for my life. I don't know if I'll ever feel truly safe staying anywhere but my own home again. I never thought a simple getaway to clear my head after a terrible breakup would end up being the most traumatic event I've ever experienced. But that's exactly what happened during my stay at that cursed Airbnb. The place seemed nice enough online, a private room in a large house, located in a quiet town, and just a few hours' drive from the city. I figured having my own room in a shared house would provide a good balance of privacy and company as I processed my emotions and started moving on from the heartache of my failed relationship. The pictures showed a cozy bedroom with a plush armchair, a spacious shared living room, and an inviting back deck overlooking a peaceful garden. It seemed like the perfect retreat. I couldn't have been more wrong. The first couple days were uneventful. I mostly kept to myself, reading novels curled up in my room, journaling at the rustic wooden kitchen table, and going on long hikes on nearby trails to take in the scenic countryside. It was almost starting to feel therapeutic, like I could breathe again after suffocating in that toxic relationship. But on the third evening, everything changed. I overheard a disturbing conversation coming from the room next to mine. The walls were thin, and the voices carried through with unsettling clarity. At first, I tried not to eavesdrop, telling myself it was probably just a TV show. But certain words jumped out, seizing me with dread. Shipment. Buyers. Fresh batch. My stomach turned as the horrific picture started to form in my mind. This was no normal conversation. As much as I wanted to dismiss it as my overactive imagination, my instincts told me something was very wrong. Hands shaking, I grabbed my laptop and did some digging online about trafficking rings operating under the guise of short-term rentals. The details I found lined up too closely for comfort with what I had overheard. Rentals with easy, discreet access. Rotating guests providing cover for shuttling victims in and out. Seclusion to avoid drawing attention. This house ticked all the boxes. I sat frozen on the bed, hand clamped over my mouth, trembling uncontrollably as I realized just how much danger I could be in. Tears streamed down my face, but I hardly noticed. I knew I had to get out of there immediately. Heart pounding, I quietly gathered up only my essentials, shoving them quickly into my duffel bag. I waited, hardly daring to breathe, until I finally heard footsteps and the front door closing as the hosts left, presumably to run their sinister errands. This was my chance. I crept down the stairs, across the living room, to the front door. With a deep breath, I unlocked the deadbolt, eased open the heavy oak door, and found myself face to face with a strange, menacing man on the porch. He seemed surprised to see me, but not as surprised as he should have been. Time slowed down as raw panic flooded my veins. The man lunged to grab me as a scream tore from my throat. Sheer adrenaline took over. I swung my heavy duffel bag at him with every ounce of strength I had. He stumbled just long enough for me to barrel past him, leaping off the porch and into the night. I ran harder than I ever had in my life, too afraid to look behind me as I fled headlong into the darkness between the porch lights. The blood roared in my ears, nearly drowning out my ragged breaths. The only thought in my head was that I couldn't let them take me. I refused to become another trafficking statistic. Lungs and legs burning, I rounded a bend in the road and saw the distant glow of headlights. Never breaking stride, I sprinted into the middle of the narrow road, waving my arms frantically, desperately praying they would stop. The police cruiser screeched to a halt mere inches from me, and I practically collapsed onto the hood, body heaving with sobs as I gasped out the words, Airbnb, trafficking, help. The officers immediately called for backup, alerting the station to the urgency of the situation. They gently guided me into the back of the patrol car to get my full statement and try to calm me down while waiting for reinforcements. I sat in the cruiser, wrapped in a shock blanket, shivering, tears still flowing, as I listened to the chaos unfold on their radio. The SWAT team raided the house, arresting the hosts and several other individuals. They uncovered concrete evidence of the trafficking ring operating right under the nose of unsuspecting guests like myself. It was like a horrific nightmare that I couldn't wake up from. I was incredibly fortunate to escape that night, and my heart breaks for those who didn't. I'm still haunted by the whole experience, the memories hitting me in cruel flashbacks. I don't know if I'll ever fully heal from the trauma, but I'm grateful to be alive, and I hope my story can serve as a warning to others. If something feels off about your rental or situation, no matter how small, trust your instincts and prioritize your safety above all else. Reach out for help immediately. Evil can lurk where you least expect it, even in a cozy bedroom with a plush armchair. It's a terrifying world out there. Stay safe.